Thank you for joining us for our weekly broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. We are continuing our series today called Hard Questions, Solid Answers. This is a series of questions you have asked Pastor Dave throughout his years of ministry. Today's hard question is on homosexuality. Can you live this lifestyle and be a Christian? Are people born this way? What does God's Word say about it? So let's listen in now as Pastor Dave answers this hard question with a solid answer.
We are going over this issue that is very prevalent in our society. I would say either it's homosexuality or the marijuana initiative, one of the two. Those two issues, I would really encourage and exhort you to try and find a day when you open up the newspaper where there's not something about one of those two. It is everywhere. It's been that way for years. And so it is very much a high priority of the devil himself to open us up to all sorts of ways. And I believe that drug addiction is one of that. I think marijuana is going to, we're going to reap the consequences of that as a state. It could quite possibly be the reason why. Spiritually speaking, what is happening right now in here in Castle Rock with our kids. I believe it does open a door and a window, and we'll talk about that at a later date. Homosexuality. When it comes to this issue, and especially our stance in the church and as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, if God's word prohibits something, then the church, Christians, as well as a true minister of God, is going to have to make that known as well. In Titus 1, verses 7 through 9, it says this, "For a bishop must be blameless, as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict." So, just to give you a little taste for next week and the week after, we're going to be going after, we're going to be teaching on false prophets, false teachers. Is there a difference between those who are false teachers and preachers and those who might have a different understanding of God's word? Yes, there is. There's a huge difference. One has to do with greed. One has to do with self-elevation, all this kind of stuff, where somebody else might just be misinformed. And so there is a huge difference. And so we're going to talk about those things over the next couple weeks. We are going to talk about the emerging church, that is truly a cult in and of itself. And so we're going to be talking about these different teachers that are out there that are truly false teachers. So when it comes to convict those who contradict, I have an obligation to confront that which is false. It's the duty of a Christian minister. Christian ministers must instruct, and they must refute those who contradict the teachings, the sound and solid and clear teachings of God's word. This is what we use to be able to determine if somebody is truly teaching the word of God or not. You go to the word. And if someone is saying something that is absolutely contrary to God's word, then there's something wrong there. There's something nefarious going on there. And so we need to talk about it, and we need to bring it out so people understand not to follow that person. I personally do not believe that homosexuality is the worst sin or the unpardonable sin. I do not believe that I am a hateful person because I object to the practice of homosexuality. I'm not homophobic. I'm not legalistic. I'm not being judgmental. I'm just teaching what the Word of God says. And because I'm bound to the Word of God, then this is what I have to say. To label me as homophobic, legalistic, whatever you want to say, is very immature, and it's a distraction from the real issue of what it is that we're trying to talk about here. I also believe that any discussion of this matter that's not done in the spirit of 1 Corinthians 13 is also out of lines and out of bounds and can be called upon. I also want to make clear that even though I disagree with the lifestyle of practicing homosexuality, I will say this. I recognize that all do not agree with me. I recognize the fact that maybe people aren't in that place to receive everything that I have to say. And because of that, I can still respect where they come from. I can respect that. But to tolerate something does not mean I have to support it or celebrate that position. That's not what tolerance means. Tolerance means I disagree, but I'm not going to berate you over it. I just disagree. And this is the reason why. And because I don't celebrate or support the position of homosexuality does not make me a hater. It doesn't. I'm not a bigot. Any other negative term you can think of, I'm just going over the issue as God has set forth in his word as instruction for mankind. This is what he's given me, the Bible. If you do not believe in God, and if you do not believe that the Bible is the authoritative word of God, then we have a different issue to discuss altogether. I don't care if you're a homosexual or not. I don't care what you are. If you don't know God and believe this is his word, then that's a different topic altogether, and that's the only thing I'm interested in talking to you about. To try and love you to the person of Jesus Christ. That's all I care about. And having said this, I want to be able to discuss the issue. And let me tell you something. The issue is not homosexuality. The issue is marriage. And the distraction is homosexuality. It's like saying when people say, well, you know, homosexuality really isn't an issue in the Bible. Jesus doesn't seem to have an issue with homosexuality. I go, that's like saying God's word does not say anywhere that you cannot kick somebody in the shins. Show me anywhere in God's word where it says I can't throw a pie in your face, that I can't slash your tires, that I can't, you know, kick you in the shins. Nowhere in God's word does it say you can't do that. But what it does say is that you're supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Thus, those actions are not loving towards your neighbor. Thus, you are disobeying that commandment. Marriage. Between man and a woman, the Bible says. Anything outside of that contradicts that edict. Thus, it is wrong. That's really the issue. That's really the issue, and we're going to get to that here in a moment. But first, I want to kind of take a look at some illustrations, some guidelines in God's word that seems to paint a picture for us if this behavior is acceptable at all. What does God's word say about this behavior of same-sex practice? Well, I want you to go to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. Yes, and this is the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. And it tells us something that very soon after, you know, the flood and a man multiplying on the face of the earth, it doesn't take long before wickedness takes root again. And so in verse 1 of Genesis 19, it says, now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening. Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. And he said, hear now, my lords, please turn in your servant's house, spend the night, wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go your way. And they said, no, but we will spend the night in the open square. So a couple of angels are being sent out. They're there to spy out and give a report back to the Lord if judgment needs to come or not. God has already determined he is going to judge. And so the angels are there to kind of like spy out the land, come back to God. And so as they were going to spend the night in the open square, Lot comes along. And he says, no, don't spend the night here. Come, spend it at my house. And they said, no, we will spend the night in the open square. But he insisted strongly. So they turned into him, entered his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. So Lot notices these strangers. For whatever reason, he understands it's not safe in the open square. We're going to see this again in Judges chapter 19. that he understands the people in his town, and he's looking out for them, and he's just saying, it's not a good idea. It's better, you'll be safer under my roof, obviously not knowing that they're angels. And so when he gets them safe inside his house, they make a feast for them, and then all of a sudden they get some unexpected guests. In verse 4, now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young. So whatever's going on here is influence. The older have influenced the younger. And all the people from every quarter. And they surrounded the house. What kind of a positioning is surrounding the house? One of welcome? You know, that right there is nefarious and just threatening in itself. And they called to Lot and said to him, "We're the men who came to you tonight. Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally." The NASB says, "Have relations with them." NIV says, "So we can have sex with them." And the New King James Version here says that we can know them carnally. And the key issue is the word know. Doesn't mean to get to know them as get acquainted. Let's exchange business cards. Hey, we just want to say hi. I think anybody that when they read the context of here, they can get an idea of what's going on. The word, Hebrew word yada, it does mean to know something. It can mean that. It can mean to know someone, just about them and things like that. And then it could also mean to know sexually, and what is going to determine the meaning is its context. And I don't care who you read this to, before you even get to this point, surrounding the house, to know them carnally, everybody is going to have the exact same idea in their mind. They already know what's going on here. And notice that the crowd is made up of men and men only, not men and women, just men. All members of society are represented here, old and young. They surround the house. And so it's obvious to all reading this account of what's going on here. This is apparently some sort of homosexual man eagerly want to participate in some sort of communal rape of these visiting men. Verse 6. So Lot went out through the doorway, shut the door behind him, and said, "Please, my brethren, do not do so." And what does it say? Wickedly. So somehow Lot is perusing the situation, and he comes to the conclusion of what he sees is wickedness. This is not someone who's only been in town for a week or a year, and maybe be looking at the situation, and maybe he's wrong in how he's ascertaining the situation. No, he's been there for a long time, many years, probably 50 years at this point. And he knows exactly what's going on, and he draws a conclusion. If this is to continue, it's wicked. "Please," he says, "my brethren, do not do so wickedly." And so Lot makes it very clear to try and know these men the way that they want to. Speaks of wickedness, and that speaks of same sex, because they're men and the people inside are men. And so right here, God is letting us see through Lot that same sex practices are wicked, according to Genesis 19. So Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind him, and said, "Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See now, I have two daughters who if you have not known a man." What do you think that means? It means they're virgins. "Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof." Now, I'm pretty sure at this point, Lot does not win Father of the Year. Okay? To even imagine somebody offering up their daughters makes me sick to my stomach, to my very core, how anyone could even do that, how that could even be possible. But to offer up his virgin daughters to suppress their lusts instead of their two male guests, again, just builds a case, a weight of evidence of what it is that these men want to do. They want to have sex with these other men. And Lot calls it wickedness. I don't know what he calls offering up his own daughters. I would say that's twice as wicked. And so we see what the word yada means here. It means to know in a sexual manner. So, verse 9, and they said, stand back. And then they said, this one came in to stay here. He keeps acting as a judge, and now we will deal worse with you than with them. So they pressed hard against the man, Lot, came near to break down the door. How dare he judge us is basically is what they're saying here. How dare he judge us was their cry. How dare he force his morality on us? How dare him shine light to show our darkness? Peter talked about this in his generation, which I think also speaks of our generation. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, it says this, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drunken parties, and abominable idolatries. In regards to these, what? Lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they, meaning those who don't know Jesus, they think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation or excitement, and instead they speak evil of you. Can you believe that guy? He doesn't want to be lewd with us anymore? Can you believe he doesn't want to get drunk and go wild like we used to be? Can you believe this guy, that guy? And then they start speaking evil of you. I look at that and I just go, are you kidding me? But that's exactly the way it is. Sinners are quite often offended when you do not support or celebrate their vices. I don't berate anybody that wants to smoke marijuana. I don't berate anybody who voted for Amendment 64, but I got to tell you something, I did not. And I don't think it's a good idea. And the way that that has opened up the floodgates, we're going to rue the day. We're going to rue the day. And there'll be more people who will speak evil of me than those who open up the gates to which we now have to stand this flood that's going to be coming our way, and already has. We see another example of this in Judges chapter 19. Go to Judges chapter 19. Here in Judges 19, we have a Levite who travels to go get a runaway concubine that went back home to her father in Bethlehem. He goes there, makes nice, brings her back, and as he's bringing her back from Bethlehem to the mountains of Ephraim, he stops in the town of Gibeah, also to spend time and stay there in the open square. When a resident of Gibeah offers instead for them to lodge at his house because it was not safe as a traveler to stay in the open square. Sound familiar? Verse 22 of Judges 19, and as they were enjoying themselves, suddenly certain men of the city, perverted men, surrounded the house. Sound familiar? Beat on the door. They spoke to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring out the man who came to your house that we may know him carnally. It's like, are we sure we're not reading the same story again? But the man, the master of the house, went out to them and said to them, know my brethren, again, men, I beg you, do not act so wickedly. Again, being denounced as being wicked. Seeing this man has come into my house, do not commit this outrage. So not only is wicked, but it's outrage. And look, here is my virgin daughter and the man's concubine. Let me bring them out now. Humble them. Do with them as you please, but to this man do not such a vile thing. But the men would not heed him, so the man took his concubine, brought her out to them, and they knew her and abused her all night until morning. And when the day began to break, they let her go. And she ended up dying. What? It's almost like we just read the same account again. This time it says he calls them perverted men. That means sons of Belial. That means worthless men. Evil, naughty, ungodly, wicked men is what that means. Do not act so wickedly. And do not commit this outrage. The word outrage is a word that means foolishness. And it also means a crime. Is what it means. And so this man interprets their actions as wicked, outrage, a crime. And again, context bears it out. It's speaking of homosexual rape is what they wanted to do, but instead they sexually abused his concubine. And so we see two illustrations of men desiring to know sexually other men. Both times it's condemned as wickedness. Here in Judges, it's also called an outrage. Now, I have heard people have an objection to this and saying, neither the Old or New Testament identifies the sin of Sodom as homosexuality. Instead, when their sin is mentioned, it speaks of inhospitality and the mistreatment of the poor from Ezekiel chapter 16. So I want you to go to Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 48 through 49. And indeed, it does say they were inhospitable, and it does say that they did not give to the poor. But go to Ezekiel chapter 16, because there's another verse that comes after that. Ezekiel 16, verse 48, as I live, says the Lord God, neither your sister Sodom nor her daughters have done as you and your daughters have done. Look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride, fullness of food, abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. See? But they stopped there, and they should read verse 50. And they were haughty and committed abominations. So they committed an abomination that has nothing to do with anything that was said before it, because it's adding, and they also did this. So it can't be included in what they've already done. This abomination is above and beyond what has been mentioned here. And so he says, and they were haughty and committed abomination before me, therefore I took them away as I saw fit. Okay, so if they had committed abomination, is there anywhere in the Bible that talks about what this abomination could possibly be? Well, we just read there in Genesis 19 of something very abominable that they wanted to do with these two angels, which tells us that they had been practicing this. But is there anywhere that says that same-sex relationships is an abomination? Yes. It's Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, and Leviticus 20, verse 13, and you need to go there. What is really interesting about Leviticus here is that God is basically saying, look, here's what the people did before you who inhabited the land for the last 500-600 years, to the point where their behavior was so detestable, it's going to vomit them out. And so here in chapter 17, we're told something here. I'm sorry, in chapter 18. It says this, verse 20, moreover, you shall not lie carnally with your neighbor's wife to defile yourself with her. And you shall not let any of your descendants pass through the fire to Molech, nor shall you profane the name of your God, I am the Lord. Verse 22, and you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It's an abomination. Nor shall you mate with an animal to defile yourself with it. Nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is perversion. Do not defile yourself with any of these things, for by all these, everything that's just been mentioned so far, the nations are defiled which I'm casting out before you. For the land is defiled before I visit the punishment of its iniquity upon it, and the land vomits out its inhabitants. You shall therefore keep my statutes, my judgments, shall not commit any of these abominations, either any of your own nation or any stranger who dwells among you. For all these abominations the men of the land have done who were before you, and thus the land is.
Never can the bowels of darkness, neither death nor even life.
That concludes this Friday edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. Tune into this radio station on Monday as we continue our series, Hard Questions, Solid Answers. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Childcare is available during all our weekend services. You can also join us for a barbecue and Bible study on Wednesdays at Rhyolite Park, located right here in Castle Rock. The barbecue will begin at 5:30, and then worship and the Word will begin at 6:45. Please be sure to bring a side dish to share. And for young adults, our Arise Ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.